All right. You look familiar. So we have Anders Hallsberg
on Channel 9. We're the Speaker's Lounge. Thank you for joining us. Mm-hmm. Please introduce yourself here, sir.
I'm Chris McConnell. I'm the architect for the Windows desktop search stuff.
Excellent. So let's talk a little bit about Anders, about Link, and maybe the futures, the stuff you're thinking about for the future. I mean, desktop search, Link.
Right.
Kind of.
Right. Well, so Link is, a new feature in C# 3.0 and Visual Basic 9.0 and the Orcus release of Visual Studio. Uh-huh. Language Integrated Query is what it stands for. And it's effectively, so in a nutshell, we're extending C# and VB with the ability to express queries and set operations and transformations natively in the language.
Okay.
And it gives you SQL or XQuery-like power directly in C# and VB. Mm-hmm. And you can apply these queries to in-memory objects or relational data or XML.
True.
Sort of, in a nutshell, what it is.
Now, let me ask just quickly for the C++ developers out there, is there any thought to adding that kind of support to that language?
I think, I'm not sure if they're going to go add native query support to C++ and new syntax and whatever. C++ has a pretty big syntactic footprint as it is. But certainly all of the APIs that we're building are also usable from C++.
Mm-hmm.
But it may not be as natively integrated. I'm not exactly sure what the plan is there.
Okay. So desktop search, you want to talk just a little bit about that? Like how?
Yeah, so desktop search is kind of interesting from a data model perspective in that it's conceptually it has just one big denormalized table, but it has operations that are really fast over that. So it supports multi-level hierarchical grouping, sorting, numerical comparisons, and all the traditional stuff that you get from SQL. And it's got some kind of unique features as well, which is it has vector values. So an individual column can have vector values. And when you start doing the interaction of all these features, you get some interesting things like our sort clause allows you for a vector. You can either say order by the vector as a whole or order by the individual values, which actually duplicates then the items.
Mm.
And the sort of user scenario is imagine you have keywords associated with items, and now you hit the column to sort by that. Well, if you have ABC on one and CBA on the other, you're probably sorting that column because you want the A's together and the B's together and the C's together. And so that allows you to duplicate that information. And then there's some other specialized things that we have, like we allow within each group to do different kinds of sorting.
Mm-hmm.
A great example of that is, like in the start menu in Vista, when it pops up different categories of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So pictures, you probably want to sort by time. Your email, you want to sort by time. Your documents, maybe you want to sort by rank. For example.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Kind of supporting those capabilities natively is one of the things that we're doing. And it's kind of interesting. I actually would love to hear Andrew's take on WinFS, because I kind of think of WinFS kind of had three parts. There was the SQL engine, there was a standard schema, and there was the object mapping stuff.
Right.
And I sort of view Link as being, I'll say, a better object mapping way of doing that, even though there's also object spaces, for example. And I view desktop search as really kind of providing a schema, which I think is a lot more practical at this point for supporting the kind of operations that we want to have. So between the two of them, I think that there's a lot of the WinFS stuff, is a model that can be both efficient and easy for developers to use.
Yeah.
Although not quite as powerful in the ultimate sense, perhaps, as WinFS, the whole WinFS ambition was.
Yeah, I mean, there's always this tension between, complete accuracy that we strive for in like strongly typed schemas, but the reality of the world is that not everything is completely accurate, but we seem to muddle on just fine without accuracy, right? And in fact, that's really sort of where, I mean, information that most information is unstructured, right? And I think it'd be very interesting to think about, ways whereby we could build queryable APIs on top of this unstructured information. For sure. And really, at the core of it, Link isn't a particular implementation for a particular database. Link is a methodology for introducing query as a first-class concept into a general-purpose programming language. But it is actually very flexible about exactly how these queries get executed, because you can write different implementations of iQueryable that do whatever they do to cause the query to run.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So in an unmanaged environment such as like desktop search, would it be possible to surface up? Would you be able to write it such that you could then program against it in Link?
So desktop search is an OLED DB provider with a SQL string. So in that sense, a probably moderate extension of D-Link would probably work out of the box. But one of the things that I'm interested in is one of the trade-offs that the desktop search engine makes is, you know, an individual query is very fast for getting a set of results. But if you wanted to do something like, okay, I want to get, you know, who's the boss of this particular person, and I want to get everybody that reports to them, right? Mm-hmm. You'd have to do that as two separate queries, right? And what's interesting about Link is Link actually, I think, offers the opportunity that from the developer perspective, it can look like I just write one statement, right. And the fact that you have to break it up into two underneath is kind of transparent to the developer.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's nice, that gives you kind of some of the WinFS more advanced capabilities. And in fact, those two queries probably execute more faster than the integrated one would have in WinFS because of kind of the nature of the way that the desktop indexer has denormalized the data, which is something you do for speed. But it also gives you a lot of flexibility. And kind of echoing what Andrew said about schema, I mean, my favorite example is to say, people have never standardized on address, right, as a schema. Why isn't it a data type in databases? I mean, almost every database has an address, right?
Yeah.
And the truth is that it matters a lot what your application is doing and how the data is sliced affects your application. So if you're mapping application, you want to separate out the number from the street name, from the area designator, from everything else, but yet people don't type it in that way, which now means that you've got a mapping between the two that is probably not perfect. And that's not even getting into the complications of how addresses are done in Hong Kong versus other places. And that's a relatively simple schema, as opposed to trying to now rigidly define not only addresses, but the relationship between people and addresses, and the relationship between, you know, contacts and email, and having this rigid, you know, schema. And even if you were successful at defining that schema, which I'm pretty skeptical about finding one that'll work for any application, there's still the performance implications of doing that, that it's really difficult when you factor your data that way on a disk to make it work. Now, when it's all in memory, that'll be a different matter. Give us another 10 years.
Super Link.
Yeah.
Super fetch.
Hyperlink.
Cool. So, Anders, just briefly, I mean, with C# 3.0, Link isn't the only new construct in the layer. I mean, it's giant, but what else?
Well, Link is effectively, in its implementation in C#, broken down to a bunch of smaller language features that combine to form this abstract notion of language integrated query. So we have things like lambda expressions, anonymous types, object initializers, and a variety of other extension methods, you know, like a variety of other language features. And the combination of them sort of come together to form the concept of language integrated query. But the extensions are usable by themselves, and certainly like lambda expressions have a long, rich history in the lambda calculus and functional programming languages and so forth, and have lots of other uses, you know, beyond query. But I think the thing that excites me about what we're doing in C# 3.0, VB9.0, and the Link project is that we're taking a lot of interesting research that have occurred in say, functional programming languages and other areas, and then putting it to good work on a very real-world problem called, you know, query.
Excellent.
And the ability to do query and set operations on any kind of data.
That's really amazing. So now you said any kind of data, so normalized data?
It doesn't have to be normal. It works with link to XML, works over XML, and XML is not normalized in any way whatsoever. So we don't actually care about the shape of the data because, I mean, in-memory object graphs, there's nothing anywhere in object-oriented programming that says they must be normalized. I'm not even sure what it would mean to normalize an object graph. So no, we don't mandate that.
Excellent.
So I have another random question.
Okay.
Excellent.
So I'm curious what you think about kind of other attempts at improving kind of programmer productivity, which to some degree is kind of the bottom line of all the language extensions that you have here. So like, let's take particularly intentional programming.
No, I think I actually recently took another look at that the intentional stuff, and I think it's.
No, 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 no.
I think it's a really interesting area, and I think as each year goes by, you know, we get closer to, you know, a world where we really want to solve this domain-specific programming language problem. I mean, there's definitely a there, you know, in my mind. It would be wonderful if we could have domain experts do programming in their domains and then have programmers write mappings from the domains to real code, which sort of at the core of it is what Charles is doing with intentional programming. Now, whether his particular technology is the right answer or whether it's some other answer, I'm not certain at this point. And I certainly think also, you know, the trick is going to be whether these domain-specific languages ever get to a point where they will actually compose seamlessly. And then that's where I'm not exactly sure how well that's going to work, because unless we all agree on a set of primitives, you know, that we're going to sort of have at the bottom leaves of our domain-specific languages, then, you know, it's kind of like we each end up with our own periodic table and incompatible physics. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's not going to work out then, because now we just create a bunch of mayhem and a bunch of different languages that don't combine. Hmm. I think also an open question is to what extent we can teach programmers to not write instances of the problem, but rather write the classes, so to speak, like the code generators. Because today we've trained, you know, the world of programmers to write specific solutions to business problems, but now they have to sort of pop up at least one meta level and write generators that could write specific solutions to business problems, right? And that's a different kind of programming. Right.
Well, and that's in part why I'm asking that, is because in a certain respect, you could say that's exactly what you're doing with Link, right? You're making expressions so they're first class.
Yeah.
You're making it so that people can write generators. And admittedly, it's for a very, you know, focused and specialized task.
Right.
But it's definitely kind of a step on that more general principle of, you know, when you're writing a program, you should be defining a language for your domain that you can use to solve other similar problems in that domain. And there are many levels of that, you know, ranging from, you know, data types to languages, right? I mean, that compose and that you can express many different concepts in very conveniently.
But it is interesting, too, because, you know, with Link, we certainly spent, an enormous amount of time thinking about how it integrates into the existing language and make it's not just something that automatically falls out. You know, it's a lot of hard work.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's something that I really appreciate. I mean, I know we haven't actually met before, but I worked with Chris Suber for a long time, I go way back to Edward Jung's Second Foundation, where we were looking at a lot of kind of advanced object-oriented databases and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's been very interesting to watch the evolution of, you know, the kind of concepts in C# that underlie it, the integration of, you know, the ideas, I forget all the, you know, X# and F# and, you know,
C#,
C omega.
Yeah.
And I do really like the things that you've done there.
Mm-hmm.
And in part because it is an evolution towards this kind of, you know, domain-specific languages with generators, which is something that I know I've used a lot in my career.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like a long time ago, I did an image understanding workbench that a lot of it was written in Lisp, and it used, you know, kind of the same principle of building a higher level language that would compose, that would generate very specific fast code, you know, for this very performant domain.
Mm.
And I view kind of the search stuff as the same thing.
Yep.
But, you know, Link will kind of only be successful if you do a great job at generating SQL that's efficient. When talking to databases.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the things that that we spent a lot of time on in the Link project specifically was making sure that the languages like C#, VB themselves do not have any understanding whatsoever of how the queries actually ultimately execute. There's complete separation between state and church, if you will, between language and implementation, so that languages simply compile the queries into known patterns of methods called where and select and order by and group by, but the actual implementations of those methods are completely customizable. And, you know, we provide some implementations like link to objects, link to XML, link to SQL, but third parties can write their own. And we have more going in-house, like link to data sets and entities and so forth. And I would love to think about link to desktop search. It sounds like a phenomenally interesting area. Link to Active Directory is another one. You know, I mean, there are many one can envision. You know.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what kind of started this thread is I actually got the question in one of the presentations of, you know, when are you going to have Link for desktop search? And I kind of laugh because I've actually had in my task of Outlook for a year and a half a task to go talk to you.
Yeah, well, consider it done.
It's probably two years, probably even longer, which Chris Suver, before he left Microsoft, was encouraging me to go do.
Yeah, perfect.
Well, we just captured it on Channel
9. Yeah, there you go.
Awesome.
There you go. That's great.
So what are some, I know you have to roll. So how about, like, what were some really interesting questions you've gotten from real-world developers about how they're using Link? Or have you had any interesting discussions with some of the attendees?
Yeah, I've talked to, I mean, oh God, I've talked to so many people here. Yeah, it's been really exciting. I think the big thing, I think, really is sort of people have to understand this new way of programming, and then it brings about, you know, a lot of anxiety when when there's a whole new way of approaching a problem. It's kind of like, you know, with object-oriented programming, it was a whole new way of thinking of it, and oh boy, I don't know how to do that. But but I'm really encouraged to see a lot of people actually being able to completely understand functional programming without even knowing that they're understanding functional programming, because when they write queries, they're writing functional programming stuff. They're creating lambda expressions or whatever. It's just they don't see them. They're not in your face. Do you know what I'm saying?
Interesting.
And so it's been great, you know, to sort of see people's fear disappear, you know, in many ways, and in some of the questions that you know that we've gotten here.
So do you think that using that and becoming more familiar with that will lead to, let's say, broader use of functional programming in general, outside of the scope just of the Link-specific concepts? I mean, obviously, you're putting in lambda expressions and the underlying machinery to do it. But do you think people will write in programs that aren't so imperative as a result of being exposed
Absolutely. I think that's sort of a... It's a trend that has already been occurring, you know, and you see some of the dynamic languages today, like Python and Ruby, you know, support lambda expressions and comprehensions and so forth. And now it's sort of making its way into, like, mainstream, more statically typed programming languages in C#. I also think that, you know, one of the really interesting aspects about functional programming is that it... For a certain class of problems, if you can express them functionally, then you stand a much better chance of executing them efficiently on many core machines in concurrent environments, because functional programs are, by definition, side-effect free, and therefore can scale and can be partitioned in ways that imperative programs can't even begin to think about. You know? So there's some really interesting... avenues of opportunity there. We already have in house this project called P-Link to build a parallel implementation of Link, you know, that runs queries on multi cores by splitting them and then building pipelines and joining results at the end, kind of like what databases do, you know. So there's a lot of interesting stuff there.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Well, hey, thank you for your time. Do you have any other architect type questions?
No.
All right. Well, this is great to have this type of interaction.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Thank you both for your time.
You're welcome.
It's been really fun.
This was fun. Yeah.
Safe travels.
All right. Thank you.